I get quite frustrated with the industry. I call myself a fashion designer who hates fashion.
Welcome to Brave New Girl Podcast. I'm Lou Hamilton and I'm an artist, author and founder of the podcast guesting agency Brave New Girl Media. If you're interested in the health and well-being of people and the planet, then you're in the right place. My guests are change makers, focused on doing their bit towards the greater good and showing us that even taking small actions in the right direction, we can have a big impact on the world we live in. So, all aboard the mothership. Let's do this together. My guest this week is Antoinette Fionda, founder of Vera, Scottish sustainable, honest, ethical, slow fashion brand that saves fabric waste from the luxury fashion industry and ethically crafts limited edition women's wear that will last a lifetime. Their circle starts where others end, with the end of roll fabric which they save from being discarded, breathing new life into fabrics and reworking them into contemporary pieces. Welcome, Antoinette, to Brave New Girl Podcast. Antoinette, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to see you. And I'm in the middle, exactly in the middle of a 1 year no new gear project.
Wow,
for myself.
That's impressive.
And I have always been a compulsive consumer of clothes, absolutely love clothes. And so I kind of decided I needed to detox. And then use this year to look for brands that were doing things sustainably. So when I go back to buying clothes, I know that I can buy them consciously. So you are such a brand. And so can you tell us about Vera?
So Vera, it's a Scottish brand. And essentially what we do is we take discarded materials from the luxury fashion industry and we ethically craft them into limited edition women's wear. And that's through embracing the circular economy. We save kind of discarded materials from landfill whilst being kind to the planet, and also, most importantly, enhancing the lives of the people who make our clothes as well.
I'm really interested to know how that all came about, but let's give a bit of context to who you are and where you were before you managed to start this company up. So as a child, were there any clues to who you've become today?
Oh gosh, yeah. Well, I was a painfully shy child. I really struggled kind of to fit in. But I was very creative. I loved drawing, and that was a place I felt very comfortable and confident. But I spent sort of my teenage years working what felt like twice as hard as MD Elson, probably doing half as well. And I ended up in art school, and it was a complete revelation when I got there to find out that I was dyslexic. But I think that whole experience made me very tenacious. My dyslexia gave me some pain points, which is I can never remember a password, but it also gave me more than it took away. So my work ethic, problem solving, resolve. And I think it also made me subconsciously challenge myself in life. So I ended up in academia for many years, achieving two masters and a PhD when I went from, you know, struggling to write my standard grades and higher grades, you know, exams, etc. And I ended up publishing and having a very extensive academic career. And I think, you know, and also done some amazing things, been on some brilliant scientific committee conferences, and worked with the UN as a fashion sustainable expert, worked with a brilliant Sustainable Fashion Scotland group. I didn't think, I honestly, if I'd looked back, I would never have thought that I would have got there. You know, I would never have believed that I was as capable of doing that. But every part of that journey really, truly helped me understand an industry from so many perspectives. It helped me grow as a person and find confidence in my failures, find confidence in things I'm not good at, you know, as well, and become better at them by just working hard and being so tenacious. And being a female entrepreneur, that's the one thing we all have in common, I would believe, is that, you know, we don't give up easily. But all that really helps, you know, understand the gap in the market, understand what customers want, what they're looking for, and actually, you know, help me make a difference and make a disruptive fashion brand.
And as well as being an academic, you were also a creator as well. So you did textiles, didn't you? And
yes. And
so when you left art college, is that the route that you thought you were going to take?
I did. I thought when I came out of art school that, you know, people would be going, oh, wow, look, you know, this person's amazing. Look how beautiful her knitwear is. Look how fabulous her portfolio is. And it wasn't like that at all. You know, I went in to work for a knitwear company, start with a really, you know, brilliant knitwear agency. But I got very, very bored. You know, I sitting on a knitting machine all day wasn't what I expected it was going to be, and I needed to balance that up a little bit more. I then went to work for a menswear brand, which were a brilliant, brilliant menswear brand, but I did not fit the mold at all. But through that brand, I met Flavio. And Flavio is my co-founder. So he was the main manufacturer that we worked with. And this was back in 2003 that I was working with him with this menswear brand, and we just absolutely hit it off and kept in contact for years and years and years. I watched his children grow up, you know, who now work at the factory. I'm friends with his wife, you know, so we just had the best relationship and still do to this day have a brilliant friendship. You know, friendship above business is really important for me as well.
As you were sort of growing this friendship and he had this factory of fabric, at what point was there the kind of light bulb moment between you and him and thinking, there's, you know, there's something really, really wrong with the fashion world in terms of fast fashion and waste, and maybe you could do something about it?
Yeah, so much of my research had been about waste and the waste that's generated by the fashion industry. And in fact, we went on to do an exhibition at COP26 about it when it was in Glasgow. But Flavio and I's relationship, I used to lead the programme director at Glasgow Cali University, and had students over to Italy, and also was over speaking at conferences. And I used to take the students to see Flavio, see his factory, see a brilliant example of somebody that was treating people properly, because I think that's always an element that's forgotten when we talk about sustainability. So if you don't put people first, you're not putting the planet first. You know, the two must go hand in hand with sustainable pillars. And we was at a conference, and I remember phoning Flavio and saying, come along to this conference in Milan. And I was speaking at it, and he's going, no, I mean, I'm not doing anything amazing. I'm working with just now for this brand. No, but you're treating people properly, and you're on. It's all a journey. It's all a journey. And he came along, and he started telling me about the waste and the factory and the problems that he was having. And I said, well, okay, well, let's do something about this. Let's try and use this and figure out a way to use this fabric that essentially was ending up being sold as a job lot, but we was finding out that a lot of it was ending up in landfill because they'd take elements of it and just bin the rest. So we, as the best things in life ever happen, over a nice glass of Prosecco, we started talking about this idea, and by the end of it, we were like, okay, let's do something. And Flavio was an amazing person to me because he's an innovator. He sees the future. He sees things that are amazing, and not only sees it but acts on it, you know, in such a brilliant way. So we took a while. It took about a year of back and forth, and I was still working in academia and decided to leave that role to start the business essentially. So it was a slow journey for slow fashion, you know, and but that for me was really important, to take the time and create something really special. And I spent 6 months just developing the brand identity of the brand, not visual identity, but the actual brand identity and the core concepts and the purpose, because I wanted it to be really authentic and born sustainable through that process as well.
So in the factory there, try and paint a picture for me. What was the waste actually looking like, and what did you begin to think that you could possibly use it for?
So a lot of it was from a quite small end of roll. So maybe sometimes you have 2 or 3 meters, maybe sometimes you have 6 meters. And this, just to be really clear, the fabric that Flavio buys in the factory, the fabric makes the product, sells the end product to them. So he owned the fabric that he was selling. It wasn't fabric that the brands had bought and gave to him. Sometimes they do, so we never ever touch that fabric, but those fabrics tend to be logoed or, you know, very specialist made fabric. But these are fabrics come from the best mills in Italy, you know, unbelievable quality. But some of it was 20, 30 years old, you know, so had been sitting in this factory for a long time, much of it. And at other points, maybe there was a misorder, maybe there was a mistake in a fabric order and there'd be 50 meters. So I would go in and look at the fabric and start in this kind of backwards designing process where I'd start with the fabric and say, okay, there's 50 meters of this fabric, what could we do for it? Or there's 2 or 3 meters of this and 2 or 3 meters of that, and try and put some fabrics together. And essentially sometimes we'd have like our best selling jackets, a little short jacket, beautiful little crop jacket, with crossover collar, and we have done it in 14 fabrics now in total. And sometimes we do 2, you know, to use up that end of roll of fabric. Sometimes we'll have 15, but it's really small numbers of everything. And we actually label that up for the customer and tell them and put it on our website. There's actually only 2. It's really hard to choose your size when you're doing that, but when you've sometimes not got the right size for the customer, you know, but that's just the nature of it, is that we will create a limited edition, but not at a tailoring level, but at a mass production level. Because what we're doing then is we are layering the fabric, so it's being cut really efficiently on the laser cutting machine, and they will layer the fabrics. So you still get efficiencies, because that's part of being sustainable, so still have those efficiencies. What we've had to do more recently is the problems that occur, I love solving problems, is it was costing money, costing time to change the threads. So if you're making 2 of a jacket and then having to change a thread to another one, that's not efficient, so therefore it's not sustainable. Although they've got the factories completely solar, run on solar panels, so, you know, but it's still important to reduce at every stage. So what we've started doing is, okay, we'll try and choose 2 or 3 blacks, you know, so you've got the same jacket in 2 or 3 blacks, so you're not having to change the thread. So it makes it really organic, really exciting way to design. It's not just the fabric though, it's the buttons, it's the zips. The labels are made from fabric I pull out of the bin from other brands usually and say, okay, let's cut this, laser cut this and use this as labels. So our hangers are hangers that we cover, the bags are recycled, from recycled cotton. So everything is putting the circular economy approach into it. The one thing I would say is that we're not, to be completely honest and transparent, we're not truly circular because we don't take the product back and discard it. However, our products are made to last. So we expect that customer to have that piece in their wardrobe for 10, 15 years and then to pass it on to their loved one. So it's about what my grandparents used to do, you know, and actually they'd have beautiful pieces and look after them and mend them and keep them forever and pass them down as well, you know. I'm most envious of one of my friends in Italy, and she has the most amazing wardrobe, most of it her grandmother's. She's got Chanel suits, she's got cashmere that's been looked after and mended for years, you know, and that's what I want my children to have, you know. And that's part of the reason I set up this brand, is to create something that people will keep, you know, and look after and have in their wardrobe. And if there is something wrong with it, they bring it back to me and we fix it. So that's the way we look at the circular, is that actually it's the longevity of the product.
And does that go in terms of the actual designs of the pieces? So do you have like a set range of pieces that it just you're just changing the fabric from one batch to the next?
We are growing our product range. So we started off with 6 styles, mainly outerwear, because that's what Flavio specialised in. So we've just done outerwear in Italy. However, we've also introduced dresses, t-shirts, sweatshirts. So we've actually, we had sweatshirts when we started as well. But the really exciting part is that we are taking our circular model and extending that and working with different factories. So we have been working with amazing company out in Hong Kong, And this was quite a difficult decision for me because I wanted to do Made in Scotland and I wanted to do Scottish knit fair. And it has been almost impossible to do it. We can't get capacity at a Scottish knitwear factory. And I met an amazing Scottish lady who worked for this company in Hong Kong, started speaking to her, and they started telling me about an issue they had with waste. And they had been severely let down by a major luxury brand pre-COVID and had so much waste that from an order they'd placed and never seen through, and they were left with lots of product at their own cost, yarn at their own cost. And I felt so bad for them that I decided to do it. And we have been working with them really small. We've only done a couple of, we've done some hats, some scarves, some jumpers, but they've been so brilliant to work with. And actually, I was just reading a piece by one of my friends, Dr. Patsy Perry, and talking about the waste in China. And actually, that's where most of the waste from the production is right now. So whilst it was a difficult decision because of the carbon footprint, actually, we need to be extending this model and working elsewhere. So I'm actually really proud to have done that. And we have launched Made in Scotland, and I'm working with the most incredible woman, Nadia Alexander, and she bought over what was the old Macintosh factory in Scotland, which is just outside of Glasgow. And we've done taken the same model, taking their waste in the factory, and made these unbelievable handmade capes and bucket hats. I mean, it takes 2.5 hours to hand make a bucket hat, and it's vulcanized rubber, and it's 100% waterproof, comes with a lifetime guarantee. So to give back to my local area, and those artisans have paid £20 an hour, you know, and that's what's really important to me, is working with factories that pay people properly and getting to know the people in the factory. You know, in Italy, I'm very lucky that I've known them for 20 years. I know most of the people that have been there for longer than I've been working with Flavio. And when I went into the factory in Scotland in Cumbernauld, it was the same. You know, many of the people have been there for many, many years, and getting to know them and how Nadia is trying to do something amazing in Scotland for manufacturing without a lot of support, I must say, and for, you know, from the government and this level. But, you know, being a small brand that can support that is really, truly special, you know. And that's why I started this business, is to give customers something amazing, but also to help manufacturers and do it in a completely different way, you know. And the other thing that I maybe haven't explained is we operate on their downtime. So when I go to the manufacturers, I say to them, okay, I want you to give me your downtime, because then it means that it's easier for you. You know, you can keep people employed, and it works well. It's difficult at times when you're working with Italy, who have the most prestigious luxury brands in the world they work with. We get bumped quite often because they come back. But that's okay, because I know we're still doing it in the right way, because it's slow fashion. We don't need it yesterday like many brands do.
And you're on your B Corp journey. Can you explain a little bit? And we have had B Corp brands on before, but, you know, with each brand it's different. The challenges are different. So can you explain about the challenges and what you're aiming for with B Corp with Bera?
Yeah, well, I'm really sad to say that I've been on the journey for far too long and not made nearly enough progress. And it's just we've been so busy and growing the team. And actually, we have a meeting later today for a plan of action for B Corp for the next 6 months. Was the priority for this month was to put a structure in place for it. I think B Corp's amazing, and it's something I've wanted to do for a long time. For us, we're really small. And it makes it more challenging because we don't have a set person that you know will work on this as their full-time role and get us through. It's doing it as a collaborative effort amongst the team, which we've got myself, three full-timers and two part-timers, you know, and I want to get every one of them involved in it, because then we're truly, you know, it's truly embedded into it, you know. And interestingly, some of the things are already on their job role spec. So the first thing that's on every one of them job role spec is, you know, you must help, you know, make sure that we're putting people on planet first with every decision that we make. So whether it's how you put something in the bin, you know, to you know, how we procure something for the business, every step of the way, it's about doing something different. And we've got a very different way of looking at everything. You know, it's all about, can we get this via waste before we do anything? So the way that we just set up our first permanent store in Edinburgh, and we worked with an amazing company called Move On Scotland, which is circular economy for wood, and they're a social enterprise, and they work with young guys who maybe have a best start in life. And it was with them that I designed loads of furniture for the shop, and they made it. So it was all made out of waste wood from the building industry. So it's little things like that, getting the story of those elements into B Corp. When sometimes we don't fit, it's so corporate that we're finding when we're looking at everything, we're like, we've got these amazing little stories, and we need to find a way of getting these stories in, because, you know, we haven't just went, oh, you know, look, this, they're the carbon footprint of this, you know, it's more than that. It's about treating people properly. And that's a huge part, obviously, of B Corp. But the waste element, it's really hard to quantify. I still find it very hard to quantify waste. And I think using waste and taking on that, I think that's when we're looking at carbon calculators, I always find that's a bit of a sticking point, and something we've been trying to get around for B Corp as well.
And I guess it's an evolving journey for B Corp as well, as they bring on different brands, different kinds of brands, different size of brands. And then you've got the challenge of, it's not just you and the immediate organisation or immediate business, but you've also then, if you're taking on other factories, then you've got to presumably follow through their kind of B Corp tick boxes too.
Yeah. And really interestingly, that's the bit that I find the easiest in some respects, because the people we're working with, they're we've selected them really because of what they're doing, you know, and how amazingly they're treating their people. And if we don't get through on that, I'm okay, because like, if we don't get B Corp because it's not there, because I know I'm doing the right thing, you know, and I know that the people that I'm working with are treating people properly, and we wouldn't be working with them if we weren't. And it's good to have, you know, it's amazing to have that stamp, it's amazing to have those things, but at the end of the day, what's more amazing is I know, and the people I trust, the people that we work with implicitly, and I know that they're doing something amazing. So the B Corp for me is brilliant, and it's great to show the world that you're affiliated with that, because it's a third party saying, yes, you are. But at the end of the day, it's still what we're doing. You know, we're still proud to tell our story, and we will be, and we'll only work with people that are doing amazing things, you know. And we've got another company that we're going to start working with, and they're, you know, it's a husband and wife team. They're doing amazing things, you know, really tiny. But again, it's supporting small, supporting local, and they won't have all the paperwork, they won't have all the things that you need, but we'll help them get there. And that's part of our journey is through B Corp, is we're going to help the factories that we work with and set them on that journey too.
And so what's your vision for the future then?
So for Berra, we are really lucky that we won a Net Zero Scottish Edge Award, and we opened our first store, as I said, in Edinburgh only 2 months ago, which is great. Over the next 3 years, I want to open a further store in London and one in Italy, in Milan, just because it's close to Flavio. And also, what's really important with that as well is that it helps us with Brexit, because Brexit has been a huge, huge issue for us and has really stumbled our growth over the last year. But we are hoping to take on some stores. We're hoping to work a lot on our online presence, because we haven't done enough on that, to be honest. And that was part of the money that we won, was to open stores and work on our digital and take on more staff. So we've made in Scotland as well. So we've ticked the two out of three of those yet. So we're on the road to doing some amazing things, you know, and it's creating really, you know, for me, it's exciting to create good jobs, really amazing, sustainable jobs, and give people brilliant careers in the fashion industry in Scotland, which is very small. You know, it's a very small industry up here. And, you know, I wish that there'd been more businesses like mine when I graduated. And that's the sort of businesses I would have been applying for.
And so how do you see fashion as a whole going? You know, are they going to be forced to change, or, you know, is it just kind of business as usual?
I get quite frustrated with the industry. I call myself a fashion designer who hates fashion. And that, you know, and that's how I describe myself. And I loathe it because of how it impacts the environment. I loathe it because of how it doesn't treat people properly. But it doesn't have to be that way, you know, and we're here disrupting in a very small way. But, you know, if we can make that little difference and make people think about it differently, then great. You know, the amount of waste that's created by the fashion industry at pre-consumer and post-consumer, it is ridiculous. You know, it's 144 billion tonnes every single year. That's enough to fill the largest building in the world, which is the Boeing out in America, 3-4 times every year. And that's a huge issue, but 60% is happening that post-consumer, but 40% is pre-consumer, so by the manufacturers. And that wasn't talked about enough, and that's why we started what we're doing. And obviously there's huge debate about whether the fashion industry is the second or the fifth, or, you know, what doesn't matter, they're both horrendous. It doesn't matter, it's absolutely horrendous. And that, you know, and the whole kind of link with fossil fashion and for me, you know, not treating people properly is just not acceptable. And I want to be able to sell clothes that really thinks about people that are making it, that really thinks about the where we source the fabrics from. It is not enough to say you've got some recycled polyester. You know, that's, for me, I think it's not greenwashing, I think it's greenwishing. I think for many years brands thought that that was enough, that that was okay, that's what we should do. And, you know, even, you know, things that are made from recycled bottles and stuff, you know, all of this is really interesting, but for me, you know, it's too much processing involved in it. There's enough waste before it even gets to that stage if you're ingenious enough about it, if you've got a vision of how to use it properly. You know, and the amount of products, it's something between 100 and 150 billion new products are made every single year. You know, new products. And, you know, that's enough for everybody on the planet to buy, is it 14 or 15 products, you know, every year. And it's too much. It's far too much. And, you know, whilst we've got brilliant, you know, secondhand happening, part of me really struggles because with that, you know, with all this, you know, selling, you know, and all these online websites saying they're just polyester. It's just getting sold and resold and resold and resold. And, you know, it's really difficult. I am, a lot of my time I spend out with Bera educating, so going into universities, going into schools, talking about waste, talking about fashion. And the most interesting is when you go into a primary school and you've got P7s and they put their hands up and they maybe looked at your brand and go, why is your brand so expensive? And then you break down, you know, why a t-shirt should not cost less than maybe £30 if you pay somebody properly, if you all the way through the process. And you say to them, look, it's really simple math. So if you're going in and buying a t-shirt at less than a cup of coffee at £2, people aren't being paid, you know, and you're having those conversations and educating people and trying to make a difference, you know, and trying in your small way to make a difference. And I think that's just my background's been academia, and education is a huge part of it, and it's a really huge part of our brand as well.
And so when people are trying to, you know, either as consumers, people who are buying clothes, trying to be more conscious, or big fashion brands who are trying to do things in a better way, how do you define courage?
So I think courage is being yourself. It's really about following through with your beliefs. And, you know, as I said, I was a fashionizer who hates fashion, and that's quite a bold statement, and, you know, I get a lot of laughs from it, but actually it's so true. You know, it's I have to follow my beliefs and be really passionate about what I do in my life and my business, and to try and make that difference. And the other thing that, you know, that drives me a little bit crazy is, you know, courage to be a female entrepreneur, because the gender gap for entrepreneurs is female entrepreneurs is huge. In Scotland, only 1 in 5 businesses are female led and founded by women, and we only get 2% of the overall investment capital in the last 5 years. So it's scary to be a female entrepreneur. It's scary to start up a business. You know, so you've got that double hit, and it's a really daunting task when you're up against statistics like that. But I think when you've got a bit of tenacity, you've got a bit of passion, when you've got a great, like, very simple, but, you know, a great idea, and you've got some brilliant people that you work with, you know, because it's not about me and my idea, it's about Flavio and his factory, it's about working with this, you know, factory in Hong Kong, it's working with Nadia in Scotland, and working with these people who are trying to make a difference at that manufacturing level as well. And most importantly, it's about our customers, you know, and without them, we wouldn't be here. It's about every one of those that have given me the support. And I'm truly, truly thankful of that.
Thank you so much, Antoinette, for creating a fashion brand that gives us a way to buy clothes whilst knowing that we're contributing to the circular economy, using up end of roll fabric and buying unique pieces that will last a lifetime. Thank you so much. It's been brilliant to talk to you, and good luck with it all, because it's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Thanks, Antoinette, for showing us how to buy good quality clothes that also allow us to be gentle and nurturing to the planet. You can find out more about Antoinette's work at www.beera.scot and follow her on Instagram at b_e_i_r_a. Thank you, Brave New Girl Media, for producing and sourcing the guests for the show, and to you for listening. I hope today's story inspires you to step into the spotlight and show how you too are positively impacting the world. Take care, choose courage, and see you next time.